There is no rapture. Resurrection side effects do not merit Latin names and novels. The rapture doctrine is a splinter and corruption of the doctrine of the resurrection. The rapture is the name given to one aspect of the resurrection, which corrupt men attempt to spin off as an event separate from the resurrection altogether. At the coming of Christ, those who have been raised from the dead and those who remain alive are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air as part of the resurrection event. The Greek word for caught up is harpazo, to grab or snatch. From that, they go to the Latin-derived rapture, which has a similar meaning. I do not use this term, rapture, because the event already has a name, the resurrection. And this side effect, the catching up, does not require a special Latin name. Giving this effect a special name and treating it as a separate event has led to many problems in Christianity. They split the rapture off from the resurrection. They rob the resurrection doctrine and treat it as a separate event. They move it around in time and add multiple raptures as they see fit. The rapture has not only overshadowed the bigger event, of which it is merely a side effect. In the end, there is no room for the resurrection. The resurrection is simply replaced by the rapture. The side effect becomes central. Today we hear all about the catching up, but almost nothing about the resurrection. And the resurrection is a central doctrine of Christianity. I have gotten dozens of questions about the rapture, but never one about the resurrection. That speaks volumes to me. Why do people call the resurrection the rapture? We had a name for this event for over 1,000 years, but over the last 150 years, they decided to start focusing on the transportation aspect instead of on the transformation aspect of this event and give it a name, rapture. When I say that there is no rapture, what I mean is that the doctrine that Jesus is coming to take us away to heaven, the rapture as it is commonly taught, is not correct. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord, as the scriptures describe, but we are not leaving the earth. Christ is returning, and we will be with him and with those who have died in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, which I will cover in detail in the next section, is the primary passage used to support the rapture doctrine. This is where it comes from. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16 describes the resurrection. That is the subject, and it does not make sense to interject a new idea about transportation to a passage that is talking about the resurrection of the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Shall I mention that this is on the last day? That is the context, the resurrection of the dead. That is the focus. But what verse gets all the attention? 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture focuses on the transportation aspect of this passage, but that is not the central idea. Also, there is nothing here telling us that the transportation spoken of will take us to heaven, as many believe. When Jesus comes, we are going to meet him. He is on his way here, and we will meet him in the clouds to join him for his triumphant return to Jerusalem immediately. According to Mark 13 and other passages, such as Revelation 6, verse 16 and 17, this event will be visible, not secret as the rapture teachers suggest based on their imaginations. Mark chapter 13, verse 26 says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." The term "they" in this verse must refer to the world, or the enemies, or some like thing, because in the context of Mark 13, the disciples are always referred to as "you" and the enemies as "they." Read for yourself. Mark 13, verse 27 says, "And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Note the parallel reference to the meeting in the clouds. The elect are gathered in the clouds at the same time as Christ is revealed to the world. We meet him in the clouds because we have to meet him before he lands so that we may land with him. We get to share in that. The kingdom of heaven is coming to earth. There is no evidence for any secret removal of Christians from the earth. That is pure fiction. Christians are suffering tribulation and persecution this very day. The idea of being saved from suffering is unchristian, and it only makes sense to complacent and comfort-loving Christians in the West. God saves us from death by resurrection. God does not save us from pain by rapture. Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Instead of assuring themselves that they will not be on earth for tribulation, Christians ought to be preparing spiritually to stand in the spiritual battle in the day of the Lord. That is what I live for. I don't despise those who fear the tribulation. I'm not exactly thrilled at the idea of suffering, yet I want to fulfill it. But I would rather encourage them to be strong and trust the Lord, that nothing will be asked of us beyond what we can bear. Isaiah 48:10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." I have heard ministers talk how Christ doesn't want his bride sullied by tribulation. They say he does not want her bruised and battered. These savor the things which men love, and not the things which God loves. What sullies Christ's bride is her love of material possessions and delight in things which God despises. If I were to judge it based on the church as it appears today, the bride is already dirty and polluted. Tribulation will purify and prepare her, so judge nothing before the time. Daniel 12, verse 10, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand." For these reasons, I don't like the rapture doctrine as it is commonly used, and I don't teach it or use that word in my teachings. You can teach Christianity without ever using the word rapture, and you don't have to know of the small detail of the catching up to be caught up. But you cannot be true to Christianity without teaching the hope and truth of the resurrection of the dead. I reject the rapture doctrine because it tries to replace the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead in the hearts of Christians. The beliefs inspired by this doctrine cause people to imagine multiple raptures and resurrections prior to the first resurrection. The rapture exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Yes, we will be caught up, but that is just incidental to the fact of the resurrection.